from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. 5 DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Here we go. It's hour number 3 of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a great day. You got Brian Broaddus on the tennis courts in Oxnard, California, continuing with our Cowboys training camp coverage. We have CY Rangers GM coming up here in about 20 minutes. Of course, Lucius Alexander, Zach Wolchuk, myself, Gavin Dawson. And it is time now to talk with one of our favorite, if not our single most favorite football guest, Mike Golic Jr., college football analyst, talk show host with his daddy on DraftKings. And a good afternoon to you, sir. How you doing?
Good afternoon. Appreciate you having me back. Always a ton of fun.
Man, can we start with this Notre Dame linebacker that the Cowboys drafted, Maris Leafy? I'd love to get your thoughts on what kind of a NFL career you think awaits him.
Yeah, you know, Maris turned himself into an incredibly productive player in South Bend, was a leader in the middle of a defense that had a ton of NFL qualities about it under Al Golden. And I think for people in the NFL drafting players on that side of the ball, while Al's there, especially along with Marcus Freeman, you're going to see high football IQ. These guys are used to wearing a bunch of hats and playing roles. For Maris, the things I can say specifically about him, that nose for the football thing kind of gets overblown sometimes. It's hard to quantify, but he really is a guy that always finds his way to the action, really good at diagnosing plays, a good enough athlete with some great closing speed to help track guys down. I thought really actually in the last couple years of his career there too, really strong pass rush wiggle for a place in Dallas that, you know, got pretty spoiled when Micah Parsons went from off-ball linebacker to turning into one of the most ferocious pass rushers in the entire league. He's not going to do that for you by any stretch, but he is a guy in sub packages. I thought would probably be the place that not special teams where he was able to make an impact for Dallas for the soonest. So I think high football IQ, really good closing speed, certainly not afraid to come up and thud somebody by any stretch of the imagination. But I think that combined with, in this day and age, being a guy that can run well sideline to sideline and be a value add on passing downs going towards the quarterback, all that stuff seems to fare pretty well.
Yeah, he's looked fantastic in preseason. I know, like the rest of us, you're getting geeked for college football. We'll definitely chat some of that. But this is a weird year, it seems like, for our Cowboys. You don't have Dak Prescott extended. Mike McCarthy's going into a lame duck season. CeeDee Lamb is still unsigned. I'm curious your expectations for the Dallas Cowboys as we get ready for 2024.
Yeah, you know what? Becoming friends with David Hellman, who obviously, you know, everyone at Cowboys Nation knows pretty well, does a great job over at Fox. I talk with him. He's like my Cowboys translator. Because anytime I'm like, hey, how much of this is the media machine that Jerry Jones has built up and the interest economy around that team, and how much of it's actually real? And for the most part, he's pointed out that historically, things still tend to get done, even if it looks and feels harder. We saw that most recently with my buddy Zach Martin last year, where it took a little while, even for him, a guy who's a future Ring of Honor, Gold Jacket, everything that we know Zach is, it took even a little extra effort for him to go get paid. And so once you see something like that enough times, you understand that it's more par for the course, even if I don't think it's good business practice to treat your star players like that in a place that prides itself on treating its star players, especially post-career, pretty darn well. So, yeah, I think it's kind of obscured what I think is still a very good football team. They've got to answer for the sins in the postseason. That's the reality, and that's something they've earned through the recent years, not just the history since the triplets, but I think overall the effects like that where you see Micah Parsons getting involved in that stuff in the conversation for a guy that, again, like CD, is going to get paid by this team. Those two are not walking out the door. The Dak situation's a little more complicated than that now, I think, based on what Dak could have on the other side of the rainbow if he chooses to pursue that. But for those two guys, they're going to be there. For Micah Parsons, it could be a little bit more difficult road like his peers that he's seen, but at the end of the day, they're still there. They're still going to play this season, and even though the Cowboys have questions to answer, although, you know, hopefully some of the uptick in Mozzie Smith production maybe helps out the run defense, offensively, we'll see if the youth on the offensive line can offset the fact that they didn't address running back in the way people thought they should this offseason. It's still going to be a double-digit win football team.
Hey, Mike, I really thought Notre Dame guys were smart, and the fact that you've enlisted Hellman to help you, I think, is a huge mistake. You know, as an LSU guy with Hellman, I just kind of question your smarts. Maybe you should have gone to school with us at LSU with that type of thinking. But you did bring up the offensive line, and I wondered what your thoughts were. In the NFL, in this day and age, can you go with two rookies of your five and function well in the National Football League on your offensive line?
You know what? It's certainly difficult. I think, you know, they're sort of separate cases because Cooper coming in playing as much football as he did at the college level, playing a position like center where when you've got a quarterback that's as capable and smart as Dak Prescott is, when Zach Martin is to your right, who's seen a ton of football, is an incredibly high IQ guy, some of the more difficult parts mentally of that position are going to be handled, I think, at least a little bit by other people at the beginning for Cooper. Physically, center's usually one of the easier positions to slot in on the offensive line. I say that as someone that snapped the ball for a while during my career. You've got a lot more help, and so you're going to have those advantages there. You're next to two of the best in the business in Tyler and Zach, so that's going to go a long way too. And with Tyler Guyton, it really is a testament to what the Cowboys, despite all the things that we, you know, talk about them as flawed publicly and the way they deal with certain things, man, they can identify and draft quality talent and get them coached up quick on the offensive line. Because Tyler Guyton was a dude I wasn't in love with coming out of Oklahoma.
Sure.
I saw the tools that would make him incredibly enticing to a pro team, but it seemed far off. The motor sometimes seemed inconsistent. Some of the technique was certainly lacking. And you just see the benefit of being in a room that knows how to do this with quality veteran pieces there, like Zach, and quite honestly, like Tyler Smith, who came in as a guy that was a little more raw of a prospect coming out of Tulsa, but got up to speed quickly. And what I've seen, you know, I know the reports out of camp, there's been good days and bad for Tyler, but seeing what made its way to the stadium for the preseason games, hearing the stuff as of late, it seems like they've done it again. He'll have a few more rough moments because technically there's still some spots he gets himself into trouble, but you see more often than I saw on the Oklahoma tape, his gifts helping get him along with the right. Better, you know, the better coaching he's received up out of some of those bad spots.
It's Mike Golic Jr. here with you on 105.3 The Fan. I'm picking Cowboys in the East. I think Philly's going to be more down this year than last. What do you think?
I disagree with that. I actually think Philly, I don't know how they could be, especially, you know, I know the beginning of the year we felt like they were on borrowed time. That 10-1 record might not have been indicative, but I'll give them credit. They went out and addressed damn near every deficiency they had in the offseason somehow, some way. Will it be good enough to get them back to the Super Bowl? That I would probably stop short of, but they're going to be competitive in the East. Again, the defense has Vic Fangio at the helm, who's proven commodity with a bunch of new guys and young guys there. Offensively, I think getting a little bit of new life injected into a scheme that had become a little stale with still a bunch of talented players means that team's probably going to do pretty well. I think it's a two-horse race in that division. I'd probably still lean Dallas if you put the gun to my head right now, but I do think that one is going to be pretty close because Philly answered the bell this offseason.
There was a piece last week from ESPN. Some people feel like it was too toxic and it overplayed the relationship between Sirianni and Hurts. What do you think about the chemistry in Philadelphia?
You know, I think like anything else, when there's as much smoke as we've seen over the last, you know, however many, you know, like year and a half now from that, there's probably a good bit of fire on that. Nick Sirianni seems like a different cat at head coach, right? Some of the ways he's conducted himself, even publicly, that we get to see has not been what we normally see from head coaches in the NFL. But that being said, you're going to have a little bit of buffer in there right now. I mean, anyone that's played ball will tell you, you're only, even as the starting quarterback, spending so much time with the head ball coach. Most of it's with your position coach. Most of it's with your offensive coordinator. We saw the areas. Listen, last year when Nick started to get a little bit too familiar again with a lot of that, that was when the trouble started. Some of the best times in Philadelphia are when Nick decided to let go and let Shane Steichen control the offense, be more of the CEO. And so if he can get back to and stick to that, I think some of this stuff is mitigated. But there's no doubt there's a little bit of discomfort that we've seen work its way out publicly.
All right, it is just a few days away here, Gojo, from the college football season kicking off. It's been a bunch of change, all right? We got Texas OU in the SEC now. We got a 12-team playoff. Well, what do you think? What are some of the things that are headlines for you as we get ready to start a new college football season?
Yeah, no, I think you start off there personally. And if you'd have told me a couple of years ago when we started hearing about all this conference realignment news and stuff like that, that you would have two teams, one in Texas walking into the SEC and the other in Oregon walking into the Big Ten, that would be as equipped to come in and compete to win the division right off the bat as those two teams are, I'd have been pretty stunned. But it's a testament to what Steve Sarkisian and Dan Lanning have done, going to incredibly well-resourced programs, but getting them to a place now where depth-wise and along the lines of scrimmage, where those two leagues in particular thrive, to that place, it's pretty darn impressive. Outside of that, I mean, you look in the state of Texas for you guys outside of Austin. Listen, Notre Dame's getting ready to go down to Kyle Field at Texas A&M week one of the season and test out a group that is real interesting. I know a lot of NFL folks that are really high on Connor Wegman. Should he be able to stay healthy? I think Mike Elko can coach his ass off. And that guy with the kind of talent they have there, I think it's only a matter of time before they're in a much better place overall than where they were towards the end of the Jimbo Fisher era. So I think that situation. And then the other one for me that's super interesting, Penn State. Like, the expanded playoff, it's now or never for one of the most tradition-rich programs in college football to break through that ceiling that's been on them in the shape of Ohio State and Michigan for a while. So those are a few that are interesting. Obviously, Ohio State, Georgia, Penn in the college football playoff right now. How they get there will be interesting, but they're going to be there. There's just too much talent on those teams.
What's Oklahoma have to do to get back in the mix for the playoff picture? And, let's just go there. You know, do you think we'll see that for sure now that they're going to the SEC?
Yeah, I think it'll get there eventually. This year's going to be tough just because you graduated so much talent off the offensive line. And Bill Beambo is one of the best offensive line coaches in college football at Oklahoma with Venables. And so I trust that he's going to get that room up to speed. But it's just one of those years, timing-wise, you don't want to be walking into this conference trying to microwave success with a new group on your offensive line right out of the gate. That's tough sledding. The defense, I think, is getting closer to the Venables stuff that we saw at Clemson. I think this year could be a big step forward for them. And Jackson Arnold's got a bunch of talent. But, yeah, I trust that they're dedicated enough to this and have the right people to make it work. I just think their path forward because of that O-line reset is a little tougher right this year than it is for a place, say, like Texas, that's bringing back four of their five starters, and a guy in Kelvin Banks who's probably a top five pick.
If you're a fan of, like, you know, TCU, Baylor, Tech, and you're, you know, you're staying back here, is this a better experience as a fan when a slightly less conference have a better chance of making the playoffs here with the expanded field?
You know what? Listen, it's no doubt going to take a little bit of a hit because we all want to feel like we're a part of the big conversation. And if you're not in the SEC or the Big Ten, there's a feeling of being left out. But your point, the Big 12 is really deep with teams that could make it interesting. And while all of these teams, the Power Four conferences and the highest-ranked Group of Five champion, all have a direct avenue to the playoff, that's an incredible opportunity right now. You know, you look at the Big 12, Utah coming in with a veteran team's always a tough out under Kyle Whittingham. Kansas State looks like they're going to be a tough out again as usual under Chris Klieman. But there's a lot of other teams you just mentioned within shouting distance. And so if you've got a chance and you've got a viable path to the playoff, then, yeah, there is something to be said for clearing out a couple of those teams that would have made that conversation a little more muted.
With all the conference movement and expansion, do you think your Fighting Irish, Notre Dame, will always stay independent, or do you think eventually they're going to need to join the Big Ten or whatever conference they'd like?
I think I always call it football Pangea. When we finally get the one big super conference that everyone's playing in and it's like 60 yeah. teams and we're yep. basically doing the – I think that'll probably be it for Notre Dame as long as they've got a viable opportunity, kind of why I chose the language I did with that Big 12 conversation. Notre Dame, it's always been, hey, is our TV money comparable and do we have a path to the championship? And while they can't get the first round bye in this structure and they've got to sacrifice some on that front, the other two things are still satisfied and that's all that really matters in South Bend. We'll see if as the playoff continues to change structure, maybe it becomes harder for them to get that at-large bid. Maybe you do get more automatic bids for some of the bigger conferences as we go forward. And if that does, Notre Dame, new athletic director Pete Bavakwa, they're going to make the right decision to keep Notre Dame competitive in those areas. And if they eventually have to join a conference, I'm not going to lose much sleep over it because it's been a part of their identity, but it's certainly not the bulk of it.
Gojo Podcast on DraftKings. We thank you so much. We're a big fan of your football brain. Is there anything else that we can mention for you before we say goodbye?
No, all good, fellas. I appreciate it. We're 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern Monday through Friday on the DraftKings Network. We're having a blast. So we're hoping more people stop by for a fun fall.
Yes, sir. Enjoy the football season. Talk to you soon. Mike Golic Jr., one of our must books every radio row, and he's nice enough, generous enough with his time to, you know, usually do a couple of segments with us during the football season. Okay, speaking of generous guests, Chris Young, Rangers GM, on a pivotal Monday here. Losers of 7 series in a row. Ouch. We'll ask him questions about where they are and where they go next. It is the G-Bag Nation on your home of the champs, 105.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Hope you're having a good day. We have our special Monday guest joining us here. Talking Rangers with CY in just a second. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you're hurt in an accident, it's not your fault. Call the Frankels for a free consultation. 214-817-333-3333. Go to frankofirm.com. The Texas Rangers GM show here with CY brought to you by PlayScore and Anheuser-Busch. And a good afternoon, sir. How you doing?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Oh, we're doing good. Thank you. Breaking news from less than an hour ago, just making it official, DeGrom is going to pitch on Thursday in Frisco. That should be fun, huh?
Yeah, we're excited for him. And most importantly for Jacob, in terms of everything he's been through, it's a big step to get back out in a game, even if it's a double. But really excited for him. He's worked so hard. I know how hard this has been through. I think the last year, we saw the tears on his face when we announced his Tommy John surgery, and he's committed to a rehab. He's done everything possible to get back this season, and here we are, 13, 14 months later, where he's ready to go out on rehab, and that's a big thing for our organization, but most importantly, it's big for Jacob.
Yeah, it's very exciting, I think, especially in the context of starting to build for next year, and if he's electric, maybe that can start building momentum. Is that safe to say?
he's a huge piece of next year, and we're counting on him being the ace of our staff next year at the front of our rotation. And having him healthy and motivated, and getting him out there to get his feet underneath him this year is going to be important. And now getting him back for next year and hopefully a championship run that we're hoping to make, it's huge. And I can't wait to see him out there.
It was a fun weekend, of course, with Adrian Beltre getting honored. And we find out, of course, he's getting that statue. But for you and, of course, growing up a Ranger fan and how much he means to the organization, what was Saturday like for you getting to celebrate Adrian?
Well, it's really special. And that's one of the really real bright spots of this season. We've been able to celebrate the World Series. But we've been able to celebrate a Hall of Fame Ranger, not just person, not just player, but person. And Adrian, to see all the attention and the accolades and the celebration that he has received this year, it's so well deserved. And I'm just so grateful that he is affiliated with our organization, that he continues to come back, that he continues to spend time with our players. Hall of Fame player, Hall of Fame person. And staying connected to our history is extremely important to me. I grew up here. Some of these players were my heroes as I was a kid. I know what they mean to the fans and the kids in our community. And, I want them to always remember their time with the Texas Rangers as one of the best times in their career. And so the fact that Adrian's willing to come back speaks so highly of the organization for JD and everybody else who was here when Adrian was a Ranger. It's really, really special, and I'm so happy for him.
CY, how irritating is that your contract situation has now made it into the media?
Well, as you guys know, I'm not one that likes attention, and so it just leads to a lot of questions. But beyond that, on the job at hand, I'm focused on getting this team right. I believe in the group we have, and this has been a disappointing season, but I'm focused on what we need to do moving forward and how we make that happen. And the rest of it will fall into place and take care of itself.
When you look ahead to the offseason, CY, do you know any of the clarity when it comes to the financial resources and how aggressive you'll be able to be?
No, those conversations will begin soon. We don't have really an idea. We haven't gotten that far along yet, but we will get there in the coming weeks or month, and at which point we'll get to work. And I can tell you that from a front office standpoint, we are extremely motivated, and we're going to do everything we can to make this roster better, to improve, and make sure that our fans have a chance to come see a winning playoff caliber team, a team that's capable of winning a World Series next year. And that's exactly where our focus is going to be, and we're not going to stop until we make that happen.
CY, how difficult is it? You mentioned going through a season like this, and it's not over. Things can maybe turn around. But how difficult is it to make decisions maybe on personnel at the end of the season of guys and gals that helped you win a championship? Is that part of it that – will that be the difficult thing, that maybe the most difficult thing that you have to deal with?
Well, it's part of the job. It's part of the business. And naturally, those decisions happen. They happen whether you've won a championship or not. And you become emotionally attached to some degree. I care about all these players. But it is a performance-based game, and we have to make decisions to find – the best team and the best group of guys that we feel like is going to give us a chance to win the next championship. And we're very grateful for the contributions that all these guys have made, especially the ones that were on the 2023 team. However, we're looking ahead to the next championship, and that will be factored in terms of who helps us win that. That's the goal for us.
Does that include the staff? I was kind of focusing on some of the staff, with your coaches and, maybe some of the people that, the baseball operations folks. I mean, does that make it even more difficult that you're like, hey, I really trust this guy or this gal, but now I might have to make a decision because we maybe need to move on and get a little bit better?
Yeah, I think everybody understands it's a performance-based game, and that, you have to perform, and you have to be able to stand behind your performance. And change is inevitable. That's part of the game. But I actually, as it relates to our staff and our front office, I'm very pleased with the group we have. I think that everybody has given their best effort, and I think that we've fallen short, certainly between the lines. But I don't think in terms of our processes and our systems and the way we've evaluated, the way we've chosen players, the way we've coached our players, I actually am really satisfied with that. And I'm satisfied with the group that we have to be able to self.
We lost you there for a sec, CY, just at the end of the sentence, so that's why maybe the line went dead to you. It is Chris Young, Rangers. Oh.
Gotcha. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we got you. Sounds like you're, yeah. you might have
no,
a busy.
I was just saying, I'm on the field right now, but
cool.
But I'm very happy with our staff, and you know, we all have a responsibility to self-reflect and find ways to improve, and I'm very confident our staff and front office will be able to do that.
So being on the field, being around the team, is that something more important to you than your peers, and what's sort of your philosophy on that?
Well, I can't answer for my peers. I don't know if it's more or less important, but it is very important for me because I've been in these shoes, and I see them working on a daily basis. I see the energy that they pour in, and sometimes it really does. I say this, like, it breaks my heart to see them come off the field dejected or feeling like they've let the organization down. And I know how much they care, and I certainly appreciate the work that they put in and the care factor. It is high, and we've got a great group of guys. So I want them to know they have my support. I also want them to know that I'm watching, and you know, there's an accountability that comes with this, and I want to see who's working on a daily basis. And if I can offer words of encouragement or words of wisdom, I'm here to do that. But at the same time, I'm also interested in, you know, helping these guys stay motivated and knowing that we have a lot to play for and we have a lot left to accomplish. And I'm watching to see who's willing to try to strive for that and who's going to go get it these last 6 weeks and who's not.
So when CY sees that a guy needs a pick-me-up, are you arm around the guy, whisper guy? Are you rah-rah? Are you, what's your style?
Well, it depends on the guy and the relationship. I have a lot of different styles, and a part of that is just knowing the player and what they need. And, you know, sometimes it is an arm around the shoulder. Sometimes it's a little kick in the rear, but I'm willing to do both.
Boach said it's looking bleak. What would your words be for the, you know, just the whole standings thing?
You know, I really can't get caught up in it because the standings are the standings. It is what it is. What I want to see us is go out and play winning baseball from here on out. I want us to go play with passion and energy and grit and fight and determination and FU behind them, because this season's been embarrassing for us. This is not what we expected, and I expect our players to be equally as embarrassed as I am about how we've played. And so I want to see us come out, and I want to see us fight to the finish line. Whatever that means in terms of the standings or in the record, that'll happen naturally if we just go out and play good baseball. And I want to see some improvement as we go here. I know this team is capable of more than they've shown, and my expectation is that we do that these last 6 weeks.
Gosh, we bleep and love you, CY. You're saying everything Ranger fans are feeling, man, and you're right there with us. Speaking of improvement, though, I do want to pick your brain on what you've seen from Jack Leiter this year. Of course, he had the 11 Ks the other night. We've gotten to see him at the big league level. He's been sent back down. I know you were working on some new things when we talked with you last year about him. How has Jack done so far this year?
Jack's had a great year. Where there's 6 weeks left to go. We want to see Jack finish strong through the finish line here. My anticipation is you'll see him back in the big leagues here. I don't know when, but sometime relatively soon. And we want to see him come up and have success here. And whether that's as a starter or a reliever, you know, it doesn't mean that's where he's going to be next year. But just getting him integrated into the big leagues and having some success and finishing strong through the end of September is going to be important. But I'm very pleased with the year he's had, and I'm looking forward to seeing him continue that progress that he's made through the offseason into next year.
Some of the excitement with having Pittsburgh in town is Paul Skeens and possibly getting to see him pitch on Wednesday. How special is this young man?
Well, he's really special, and I'll share a story from last year. You know, we were picking fourth in the draft, and we ended up with Wyatt Langford, and I did Zoom calls with the top five or six picks in the draft and just tried to get to know him and really spend a little time with him, not knowing who was going to be available to us. And Paul Skeens was one of those players. It was right after the College World Series. And so had the opportunity to just spend 30 minutes on the phone with Paul. And one of the most impressive interviews I've ever experienced. I talked to a lot of players, a lot of amateur players, and tried to get to know them. And Paul was unbelievably impressive in terms of just his overall mentality, the work ethic, his understanding of himself, what makes him successful, but also the person and the human being. And I always tell our players, baseball is not who you are. It's not your identity. It's what you do for a living, but it's important to have balance in your life. And Paul really connected with that. And it was so interesting to hear him talk. He's just so mature beyond his years. And it's not a surprise to me to see the success he's having. He's just an unbelievably generational type talent. And I hope we don't have to see him Wednesday.
when you look at him, though, as the evaluation, when you were looking at all those picks, those top picks, and his background starting out at Air Force and as a catcher and all that, is one of those things that kind of is very, very rare. I know we see guys going from other positions and, you know, playing other places in the major leagues, but was this one kind of rare in the way that one went?
Well, you know, maybe a little bit. I can't predict it. And I probably don't have enough history or track record with these converted players to understand who makes it and who doesn't, who succeeds.
Sure.
You know, some of them blow out and you never hear from them again, and some of them become all-stars. So there's been a lot of different ones. And, you know, I think with Paul, I think it's as much about the person, really, in terms of the success he's had. And maybe if he'd stuck at catcher, he would be a Hall of Fame catcher, too.
Sure.
You just never know. But he certainly found his calling as a pitcher.
I wouldn't want him to run on him, that's for sure.
No.
All right.
Not with that arm.
Appreciate you, CY. Have a great week, and we'll catch up with you next time.
Guys, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
There he goes, Chris Young, Rangers GM right here on 105.3 The Fan. Okay. Yeah, you know, what an awkward situation, you know, to be in with the whole contract deal. And I think he answered it great, like focused on what I can control. But if I had just won the World Series and I'm going into my final year.
Yeah, he deserves one.
100%.
Yeah. I mean, if you have questions about him as his leadership, and he seems like he's the one guy walking into the building being 6'10", and he's already so big anyway, but he's walking in there with positivity. Now, I will say this. He's probably a guy walking in there and MFing some people too. What I'm saying? He ain't settling for it. Like, you know, he talks about, hey, we got to be better. We got to be doing this. You know, that's why I was asking the question about the staff, because sometimes it might be like, listen, okay, we did this, but we're not going to go through this again.
Yeah.
Whether it's the hitting, or maybe there's something that he feels like needs to be, you know, changed out. And, you know, in 6-7 weeks time, we'll know that. And hopefully 6-7 weeks time, we'll know, or sooner than that, a contract extension for a guy that absolutely deserves one.
Yeah, which would be announced right now.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Listen to that.
Exactly.
Do you want anybody else running things with the Rangers? I sure don't.
No. Yeah. No. I mean, just the fact that you put this team together that went and won the World Series should, you know, get you, and you're a hometown guy. You know, everybody else in baseball that needs a GM is looking at CY. He's the guy you want running your baseball organization. And, you know, he has all the right answers in public, but he's a tough son of a gun.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's what you need to win in pro sports.
Accountability.
Yeah, he's not running from any of those
tough
decisions.
He ain't running for anybody. Nope.
CY brought to you by PlayScore and Anheuser-Busch, and we're coming back now with Woolchuck's Top 10. Where are you taking us, buddy?
Happy National Potato Day. What are America's top 10 popular potato dishes? We'll talk about that next in the Nation.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. Time now for Zach Woolchuck's Top 10. Here he is, the Woolly Bully, Zach with an H.
Goodness gracious, I didn't realize how many ways there were to eat potatoes, and it is National Potato Day, and goodness gracious, there was an overwhelming amount of ways that you can eat a potato, sir. 877-881-1053, your favorite potato dish, you can text that in and join the conversation. One thing I forgot to mention during NFL News of the Day, our buddy Stephon Gilmore did find a new home over the weekend. He signed with the Minnesota Vikings. So he's out there in Minnesota, and they needed some corner help. Obviously,
they
had the tragedy with Kyrie Jackson, who passed away, and they drafted a really good player that we liked a lot, Brian, out of Oregon.
Sure did.
And they make the trade, swap in Wright for Booth, and now they add Gilly, who can be a veteran in that room. But Stephon Gilmore, I mean, we got to talk to him at the Super Bowl. Awesome dude. Had some really, really strong moments for the Cowboys. I'm sure can help the Minnesota Vikings secondary as they get ready for the upcoming NFL season. So congratulations to him.
Yeah, 1-year deal, like it's like up to $10 million. I mean,
yes.
It was pretty significant. He held out and he got paid, and he found a team that was, you know, was desperate enough to pay what he felt like he was worth, and, you know, good for him. But you're right. The Vikings, talking to their guys up there, they're really having a hard time with this.
It's tough, man. It is. I mean, that was such a tragedy. You're so excited about a player.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, something like that happens, not only, you know, for them, but for his family. I mean, it's just that's still something that sits with me. I mean, it's very, very sad. But let's talk some potatoes, shall we? National Potato Day. And we got a lot of texts coming in. Au gratin potatoes, Daniel and Forney, toloing and bleeding right now from the 469. That is delicious.
Really?
I'm a fan, I will say. Now,
I think that's just showing off that you know the word, you know how to spell it.
You're giving me too much credit. I don't know if
the
spell it. Right. I can't say I can spell it.
Oh,
but
I'm so sophisticated. I like potatoes au gratin.
But they're good. You don't like potatoes au gratin?
I don't think so. It's kind of a weird sauce on there, and they're usually not like crispy at all.
It's a cheese sauce, bro.
Yeah,
cheese sauce. But
you know what it is? I wonder.
You could crisp them up. You could bake it pretty. You could hit the broiler on them and kind of, I know, Dawson, you're the texture guy. So, yeah, they can crisp them up if you hit the broiler on them.
They can be mushy. Like, I've had ones where I thought, okay, these aren't good.
But yeah, they're not done the right way.
Maybe my parents just weren't good at them, but I don't know. Broadus, you stopped me in my tracks when you said it's just a cheese sauce. You know,
it's a cheese sauce.
Kind of, what'd you think? It was like hollandaise
How
sauce?
Can you hate on that? You know what I mean?
Right? I'm like, man, that's a good point. Damn it. All stand down.
Pivot.
No, again, I know you because I've cooked stuff for you before, and you were like, the meatball needs to be a little bit more crispy. Like, you kind of like it fried.
Okay.
And, well, not fried with like the breading, but you like it with a little char.
Yeah.
And so, I think there's a way you could do the cheese sauce. Now, you can make them where it's like hot lava where you can't even eat them because that cheese sauce will get so hot. But, yeah, I think there's ways to do it and make it and doll it up the right way.
I like my cheese more gooey, like cheddar
Mac
cheese,
and cheese
melted. I did have, by the way, a great actually charred steak from a steakhouse Friday night. Uh-huh. I asked for a baked potato, which they did. They gave me extra butter, which I didn't really appreciate. I didn't need the extra butter.
You didn't want the extra butter?
It was kind of swimming.
Okay, so overload.
But what they didn't do was bring me salt and pepper. And I thought, man, that's really weird. Interesting. You can't have a baked potato without salt and pepper, can you? Was that
for
a fancy steakhouse thing?
For sure.
They should bring salt and pepper
anyway. I could see not bringing A1, right?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
But salt and pepper, I think, is a staple on like every restaurant table.
They probably feel like, though, that Dawson, the salt and pepper, that they don't need it because the steak... They probably prepped it that way.
Yeah.
But I don't know how you can't put – I love potato. I mean, pepper with potato.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a good combination right there.
We do have a lot of techs. Of course, fries. You know, fries when it comes to – that's their favorite way to
– cottage fries.
Eat the potato. But I know a guy who's, anti-fry. More onion ring love. Lucius.
Oh, yeah, that's your boy. That's me.
Potatoes. Potatoes.
I was like, who are you talking about?
Step out.
That fool sound like me.
Good taste. You were looking for to see who it was, right, Lucius?
I was waiting for the unveiling. I like the loaded baked potatoes.
Oh, geez, yes.
Or like you can cut them in the little strips, and it's already loaded, and it has everything on there.
Wow.
Like you cut it in half type of vibe.
Uh-huh.
You seen that?
Yes.
I like those, yeah.
Yeah, the twice baked potato.
Give me the twice baked. Yeah,
it could be.
Where you take you scoop the potato, you take the baked potato, and you scoop it, and then you take that potato, the inside of the potato, and then you make it like almost like mashed potatoes.
Yeah,
and then put it back in the skin.
Okay. Yeah, is that the Hasselback potato?
Well, she didn't invent it. This is a timeless Midwestern tradition.
Something's called
a
Hasselback potato, which is high. It's in the top 10.
You got me on that one.
And it's sliced 3/4 of the way down, which they say adds more surface area and crevices to stuff with cheese, garlic, meat, and butter.
Surface areas.
And surface areas.
Hasselback did have a big-ass head. I don't know.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. He had a hell of a dome. Mad surface area.
It's like a de-skinned baked potato that they're now slicing in quarters, and then they're allowing like the cheese and butter and garlic to like melt in there. I mean, it looks really
totally
good, but
different.
I've never heard of this.
Yeah. A lot of different ways to dress it up. I'd never heard of that, though.
Me either. This is a first for me. Potato wedges getting texted in.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
Steak fries are badass, too. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like potato skins. Yeah.
You cut it in half, and you cut it another way, and then you put everything on it.
And then we're loading them up.
God, man.
Freaking delicious.
Oh, that's what you were talking about, huh, Lucius?
Shepherd's pie.
Embarrassing.
Okay. That's definitely a
win. You ever had shepherd's pie before?
I have.
Yeah.
My grandmother was British.
Okay.
Grew up eating shepherd's pie.
I really like just a bowl of mashed potatoes with a pork chop, like cubed. Just slice the hell out of it. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And throw in the corn.
Yeah.
Brisket, too.
Some peas. Yeah. Hash browns getting love. Tater skins. We've got twice baked potato.
Hash browns.
Mashed potatoes. Got a little of the mashed potatoes.
No.
Now, some person did text in and say, I'm going to get hate for this from the 214. But I hate potatoes of any type. I can eat fries, but don't care for them. I really feel it's a disease that I have, so please pray for me, said the 214. I don't think it's a disease if you don't like potatoes. I just wonder how many people out there are anti-potatoes.
His family must have got off them, the Great Potato Famine or something like that back in the day. The Irish.
I think that's a blessing, actually, if you don't like it. That's not a disease because too much potatoes, it causes lethargy.
Lethargy.
Well, it's well known in the dietary community. Chief
lethargy.
Have my back if he was
that
here.
That sounds like a tough one to spell.
Yeah, you don't want to overdo potatoes.
Yeah.
And, maybe go to sweet potatoes.
All that starch or whatever.
I got lethargy.
Sweet potatoes.
Yeah, I'm a lethargy guy.
Sweet potato fries.
I love a sweet potato.
Yeah. Potato hash comes in at number 10.
Yes.
Number 9 is potato chips.
Yeah.
Yeah, homemade. Sure, let's go. Yeah.
8, you've got your mashed potatoes.
Very good. Yeah.
7 is
mashed potato.
Gnocchi.
Mashed gnocchi. There you go.
Yeah. Italian.
Italian, little dumplings.
Japanese to me.
6 is that Hasselback potato that I described to you that I've never heard of. But yeah, it does look delicious. I don't know if anybody else has ever made these or if this is a first for all of us.
Is it your top pick?
Mm.
See what I did there?
I did.
Yeah.
5 is hash browns.
Yeah.
Hard to have without. I mean, with a cheese omelet, my gosh, let's go.
It's a staple for breakfast for me. 4 is your latkes. Oh, gosh. Okay. Big time latke.
Get him, Larry Lotke.
Absolutely. Yeah. And for those of you who don't know what latkes are.
Well, yeah, tell everybody what it is.
Jewish culinary classic. We have them a lot during Hanukkah in the winter, but it's a fried potato pancake.
Let's go.
And people
with
eat
applesauce,
apple
right?
Applesauce, sour cream. You can dress them however you want. Some chives.
Would you put butter and syrup on it?
No, we wouldn't, but you could. I'm not going to knock you for that if you want to try that. And it might actually be delicious. Tell
you're
going
to get whispered about at the table, too. Yeah. You see him putting butter on this?
Look, it's our Jewish brother, Dawson. Look what
Zach
he's doing.
Invited him.
This guy's not Jewish. Sent him home.
Yeah.
Three
we got 7 nights of this Hanukkah stuff. Let's not invite him next night.
3 is potato wedges. There you go. 2 is the twice baked.
Yes.
The number 1 most popular potato dish is
indeed
the French fries.
Nice.
Happy National Potato Day. Go get you some potatoes.
Thank you, Will Chuck.
Thank you.
All right, Expressway is coming up in 20 minutes. We'll get you everything breaking in the world of sports today. We have Lucius Alexander's LA Live coming up about 5:40 here in 45 minutes. But Brian versus Bobby, who won? Plus, Trey Lance post-game feud and shots fired at Woolchuck by the morning show. We'll see how Zachary feels about this.
Ridiculous, man.
That's coming up next. It's the G-Bag Nation and the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number 1.
Port Trap pick number 1.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.